Let's go to Luke 9. Verse 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear you him." Now, this phenomenon of an audible voice from God only happened three times with Jesus Christ. And I mean, this is a pretty big deal. I mean, it wasn't just heard of him, it was heard of others that were with him. And so let's look at those. It happened three times. Let's go to 1 Matthew chapter 3. First one was when he came out of the water in baptism. Verse 16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" So the first voice, first time it said, "My Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And he's the only one that saw this phenomenon. It wasn't a dove, it was the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. And no one else saw it. All right, so the second time, in the Transfiguration, he said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Now, the third time is John 12. Starting verse 23. "When Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto the hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And the people therefore that stood by and heard said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. So the first time, "It's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The second time, "Hear him." And the third time, "He has glorified and will glorify his name again." Now all this, it's said of the Torah, of the Old Testament, that all things that will happen in the days of Messiah will also happen in the fathers of the faith. So that means that everything that Christ did, it was done by one person or more, you know, many at different times during the whole of the Torah. And then the mystery of that is that it showed that the Torah, it showed in Genesis, this was before there was Israel, but it showed in Genesis that the Word was made flesh among men. And then it showed in Abraham and in his family that everything that would happen or that Messiah would do would happen in them as a precursor. So let's look at a couple of places. Let's look at Isaiah 26. Because we'll get to that. Let's start in verse 10. Let favor be showed to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Now, as we've talked about many times, the lords that have had dominion over you, they're not speaking about external things, they're talking about all of the board of elders that you've listened to your whole life. But now you have to see that you'll no longer hear them, because by thee only will make mention of thy name. In other words, he is the only one. That's a biggie. Thou will ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. Well, I don't know about you, but that was hard for me to believe. Because I did some pretty bad stuff. But thou hast wrought all our works in us. What?
Yeah, it is a big deal.
All right.
I don't think often your mind can't come to terms with it. It has to block it out, shelve it, do something to get it out of your view.
Get what out of your view?
The bad things you've done. Whereas Christ washes it.
Well, no, you die. That's how the only way you can forgive yourself.
In him, that's where the washing.
Yeah, the washing of water by the word is the cleansing. Those are the touching the unclean body things. That's the only time washing is used. But the blood cleanses us. You gotta get this straight. We have all of the waters you have to have the washings before you can even get to the sin offering. Okay, that's the washing of water. Then the sin offering isn't for what you do, it's for who you are. And then the trespass offering is for the screw-ups you make after his life is in you, where he's living. And so the blood of Christ really has nothing to do with the Adamic race. It's just nuts. This is why the understanding of the Trinity is so important. It's the Trinity, it's not the quartet. But anyway, that's not where we're not in the right place yet. In verse 15, Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, Thou hast increased the nation, Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited Thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in pangs, her pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, and we have, as it were, brought forth wind, and have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. But thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. So awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So the idea here is this is a fulfillment of thy dead men shall live. And Christ and his name being glorified. That's what we've just seen in the audibles from God. God calls some audibles. All right, let's look at Ezekiel 37. Let's read some of Ezekiel 36 first. The whole of Ezekiel 36, it's all about really the punishment of the human race, or the death of the human race. And then in verse 22, Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and will gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and will lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and in the wastes shall be builded. And it goes on and on and on. Then the next vision that he sees after this is the Valley of the Dry Bones. And so this is critical in terms of understanding what God was saying to Jesus when he said, "Thou art my Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And now I will have glorified you, and now I will glorify you again." Because that transaction is the same thing that is going to happen in you and in me. Amen? That's what's set before us. But not until you know your doings. Not until, you understand, not until you see the evilness of your own, just every aspect of your nature. So now then comes the dry bones. Let's read that. In verse 37, chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I'll lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh up upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin was covered them from above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, this is Ezekiel's vision of seeing the whole mystery of the bride come together in one, in Israel, in she who sees God. But none of this could have happened without Christ going through these three stages. Got it a little bit? Do you understand why it was so important?
What, the bones?
No, the three that God spoke to him the three times. I mean, that was for our benefit.
Yeah.
then we would see that him speaking to him, and it was as recorded, provided the means by which all these other things that we just read about could happen. And I think I'm talking to the ceiling again. The first one. What happened in the first one? His baptism. His death. His burial.
Okay.
Prefigured his burial. Behold my son, in whom I am well pleased. Transfiguration. He fulfilled all the law. He fulfilled everything. He fulfilled all natural law. He was transfigured. Time and space lost its hold on him. So that had to happen. So that it happened in you. And it happened. And what did he say? Behold, my beloved son. Hear him. Now, the third time. He was just about to be crucified. He said, Father, my soul is troubled. He said, deliver me, no, for this hour I came. And then, Father, glorify thy name. He said, I glorify my name. And he said, glorified. It has been, and I will glorify it again. So it's glorified in finality again. When? That's the dry bones. When the she who sees God is resurrected as the bride of Christ, the perfect bride.
So he's glorified in death, in life, and in death.
Right, but he's glorified because he was first. He said, "I will glorify your name, and I glorified it, and will glorify it again." His being glorified again is when the bride is perfected, because it's my sister, my love, my bride. So but it had to come from the same genetic source. And you and I, after the flesh, didn't come from the same genetic source. That's why his own seed has gotten him the victory. That's why it's my sister, my bride. I don't know if we did this morning. I wanted to try to get you to see why the voice of God came those three times. First of all, it was my son in whom I'm well pleased. Then, this is my beloved son. Now, hear him. And third, the promise of being glorified. Now we could go through and study the things that happened, but it'll take forever. Each of the things that's prophesied about Messiah happened during the different stages of Israel's history. But this is just like a big overview of it. But I don't think I'm communicating this morning.
It's like each one of those are incredible in its own, but this, you obviously made a connection.
All right. That's all right. What? Do you have any idea what I talked about this morning?
When we first started a little bit, but read some chapters.
Well, maybe it'll come together when you wake up. What, Gary?
Well, and that was, in reading a little bit more and thinking about it, it gels a bit, pardon that word. But it's really just something to contemplate and let it overtake you. I can't figure it out, but it's there, and I can give it up and let it
Right. The reason, which you always have to do, so something you don't understand, something that isn't, as you say, the snaps hadn't worked. There's nobody that can teach it to you. The only thing you can do is say, Father, forgive me. I'm empty before you. So that you are apprehended by it instead of trying to apprehend it. But you have to go through this first stage, which is, I mean, it's critical that you see why God verbally spoke three times. That the world, that people around him actually heard.
No, that's, they only heard twice, didn't they?
Huh?
They only heard two times.
No, they heard three times.
Oh, really? I thought once they didn't hear.
No, some of them didn't hear.
Well, they must have. Jesus probably didn't go around saying, hey,
one time they said it was an angel that spoke to them.
Well,
but anyhow, I mean, the rarity of the audible voice of God to his only son had to be kind of incredible. I mean, it's there for a purpose for us to see. And it's not just to see, it's for us to hear. So that the word is made flesh, so there's no separation between right now, between you and seeing the dry bones, and not just and then seeing the dry bones be glorified. And seeing that you're really, as we've said, this is your avocation, this is your vocation, this is the only purpose on earth, is to present to your body the living sacrifice, that you would be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Not having two minds anymore. The renewing of your mind. That you would have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ was constantly empty before the Father. That's the mystery. That's why it's my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's why hear you him.
Yeah, like in 3 it talks about can Son of Man, can these bones live? The best you can say is not Moses. It took me back to Moses in the tabernacle sitting on his front yard. You know, there's all that's there to cause what needs to happen to happen. But no man can do that.
You can't put it together.
Crying is only frustration.
Mrs. Moses was a lot like Judy. Clean up this crap. Even if it's gold crap, if it's clean it up or put it together, do something with it. Just get it off the front lawn. And the tabernacle reared itself. Remember it says on the day that the tabernacle was reared up. In Hebrew it says it raised itself. So will the dry bones raise themselves. Because it's already been prophesied.
Is there something about the prophecy?
But it's that prophecy has already happened. You just have to believe it. There's nothing that's left to be done. That's what the only reason we go through all this stuff all the time is there's nothing left to be done. He's just waiting for the rebellion to cease so that faith is real and tested. Waiting for you to see.
Then there's something left to be done.
Yeah, you're not made post toasties because he's waiting.
Whatever.
All right. Take it, big guy.